All right, let's do it. Let's talk practice.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. Another episode of the Top Button Podcast, live post-spring practice edition. It's the second one we've done. It's the second chance we've had the opportunity to see these guys practice. And, you know, you don't expect to see much. You don't expect to learn a ton in these scenarios. But I think there was a lot of stuff. There's several big takeaways today, mostly on the defensive side of the ball. We're going to start with some defensive storylines, and then we're going to hit over to the offense. And then if you got questions, hit them in the chat. Go ahead and load those up, and we'll get to those at the very end. But let's piggyback off the news from yesterday with Chris Murray returning. He was at practice today. He is on the roster. He does not necessarily – I don't think he has a number picked out yet. And today he was mostly working – sort of with the guys that I would say are dinged up, injured. Probably there's still some paperwork that has to be done. Probably there's still some back-end stuff. I know at one point in time when you get a new guy, he has to go through X amount of practices in shorts and shirts without a helmet on and workouts and stuff like that before he can actually go full bore. They were in pads today. So those are the kind of things I'm sure he's working through. Don't think it means anything. He was on the indoor working, but he is back. He is back. Everybody saw him there today, and he looked good. He's going to be big for that edge room that we're actually going to talk about in just a minute. Now, let's talk defense, okay? So when we broke out from stretches, this was the first time so far, I feel like, that we've gotten a chance to see a full 11 ones, twos, threes from one side of the ball. And on defense, they did a pursuit drill, which is, you know, make a long story short, they line up in a regular defensive formation, all 11, and then they kind of have pick a spot on the field, and then everybody pursues to that spot, like all 11 of them. So they do that a couple of times, move down the field, and then they rotate in the twos, they rotate in the threes. But the most significant thing is, like, they literally called out ones and a group ran out. Twos, and what was visibly, you could kind of tell that's the twos, that's the second string, and then threes, and they did, you know, they sent the threes out there. So there's very few guys that were starters last year that returned on this team. Like, there's just not a lot of returning starters, a lot of returning guys that played, but one of those guys was Caleb Harris that started last year and obviously returned. He did not go out with the ones as far as safeties. So it was New Boy Fagans and Eric Winters, which I know that excites everybody because we're all excited to see those guys on the field. But that was one of the questions. I think one of the questions, one of the shows we did, and we talked about the safety room, we were kind of talking about who would be that second safety, not who would be, you know, the two safeties, because you just kind of penciled in Caleb Harris there at ones. Now, it's spring. It's early. That's literally the first time we've seen a ones group go out, but I think it's significant. Caleb Harris was not in that ones group. It was New Boy Fagans and Eric Winters. Hey, 3 and 5 back there on the back end. That looks good. It looks good, guys, and they look good too. So kind of sliding down, no surprise, Sylvester Smith was your one at nickel. Okay, so that was not a shock to anybody. And then you go out to corners, and I think this was a big surprise. Andre Jordan, chalk there. Everybody kind of figured that would be your guy. Gavin Jenkins was probably one of the least heralded South Florida additions from the portal this past portal period. You know, he was a very young corner last year, but he's probably close to 6'2". And there was some whispers that he was making some noise on this depth chart. And sure enough, when they called out the ones, he ran out there first. So that's something to really pay attention to. Gavin Jenkins, because, look, he's got a lot of football left. He's got a ton of football left. So if he can win that job, you potentially have him for at least two, maybe three seasons. So really, really cool stuff there to see him making noise, because I think that defensive back room is pretty talented. Then you slide into linebacker, chalk. It was Melendez and Atkins. No surprise there. On the defensive line, I think it was a little bit of a surprise. On your ends, you had Nate Johnson, you know, your guy from Missouri that transferred in. He was one end. And then you had Deshaun Womack on the other side. So those were your ends. And then your interior guys, you had Dallas Walker, which is obvious. And then Darian Smith, I think that's a big one, because I think he could really be a flex player. I think he could bump out and play end as well. He's not like overly large for the interior. He might be getting close to 280 pounds, but he's got a lot of quickness, explosion, versatility. That's going to be an interesting one to see him if he's actually playing that true three technique, because remember, that was like Malik Blockton position last year. So if it's Darian Smith there, I think he may give you an even bigger opportunity, a bigger chance to be more explosive in the pass rush up the middle. Curious to see how run defense plays out there, but that was the first group there. Then you slide to the second group. Okay, second group. Let's start back in the back again. Your safeties were Caleb Harris, and then there was a walk on. It was like Joseph Thompson or something like that. It was a walk on. I wasn't sure who it was. Caleb Harris was in with the second group. Your linebackers were Dees and Granberry. Okay, another walk on, but Bryce Diaz is your linebacker. Your corners were Rashawn Pleasant and Blake Woodby. I missed the nickel here. It was moving really, really fast, so I missed who the nickel was there. But Rashawn Pleasant, Blake Woodby, your corners, and then your defensive line. Okay, your ends were Joseph Phillips and Jared Smith, and then your interior guys were Malik Autry and Saint Ferrier. So as far as that lineup, I mean, to me, the bigger takeaway is Jared Smith's not in the first group. And I don't know that it necessarily means a ton right now. And I see some of the questions coming in. Make sure you get them in. I'll get to the questions at the end. I don't know that necessarily is obviously anything concrete now, but it's been really quiet. It's been really, really quiet so far. As far as that goes, as far as Jared Smith taking over as that leader of that pass rush, that defensive end room, he's there, and I'm not saying he's playing bad. It's just not hearing anything from him. So that's probably the biggest development there. And then you go to the third team. Your ends were J.J. Falk and Jacquez Wilkes, and my gracious, I know they're third team, but they look so good. They look so athletic. I had to like double take because I haven't memorized all the numbers yet, but you see 29 out there, and I was like, dadgum, who is that? And I had to go look at the roster, and it's Jacquez Wilkes. I mean, he looks like a junior. He's put together so, so well. Tavian Branch was on the interior, and Buddy Mathis. Didn't see Jordan Crawford at all in this drill from what I remember. Now, he was out there, and he was participating again. I don't know if that necessarily means anything, but that was the rotations on the defensive line for first team, second team, third team. Didn't catch the linebackers in third team. I did notice, I'm pretty positive that Fred Gaskin was in at one of the corners along with Scrap Richardson with third team, and then Wayne Henry was your nickel. So I missed linebackers and safeties. They only ran like two plays, and then they blew the horn for that to change. When you get to edges, like when they're doing their drills together, I mean, the first two that go out are Deshaun Womack and Nate Johnson. So, again, that was another drill where Jared Smith's not at the front. So, I don't know if it's a, you know, trying to motivate thing or if he's truly, you know, not quite there yet as far as one of the questions. I'll get to that one. I see a couple of really good questions. We'll get to them. But that was the rotations that we saw out there to start. So I noticed someone asked about Cody Sigler. I might as well go ahead and mention it because I think it's significant. He wasn't in that either. So, again, take that for what it's worth. He's been nothing but bragged on. So it could just be that they were getting some different formations. It could be that it was specific for a specific situation. They could be pass rushing situations or I don't know. Cody Sigler, Jordan Crawford didn't see either one of those guys out there. So I think that's the biggest storylines. Gavin Jenkins, huge storyline on defense. Jared Smith, will he emerge as your premier guy? I think that's a big storyline. And then the safeties, your two young guys are out there running at least that particular drill with the one. So good stuff there. Now flip it over to the offense. I watched a little bit of the quarterbacks. And look, it's so funny. 3, 10, and 19. Reese Brush, your freshman, Tia, and then Lachlan Hewlett, they literally look all like clones. They look the same. They're like the same height, the same build, and they look the same throwing the ball. Like it's and all of it's good. Like they all throw really good balls. And then you got Byram, who just looks like he's created in a lab, like just completely different. It's really interesting. He made some really pretty throws today. They were doing some wide receiver drills, and this is more of a wide receiver comment than it is Byram. I know they talked about his throw motion. I mean, he literally doesn't miss a pass. Everything, even over the middle, your timing routes, everything's just right there on the money, and it gets there like that. They were doing a stack formation, and they stacked it with Singleton, a.k.a. Zach Blackerby, and Chaz Nimrod was stacked right behind him. So there's no way for anybody to on the defense when they run that to be able to get a hand on Chaz, and he's so fast. He's so fast. That's going to be a formation that I think is going to give defenses a lot of headaches because Singleton's big, so he can rock you off the line of scrimmage, and then Nimrod's going to have a free release, and he's a freaking speed demon. And he's 6'2", you know, so it's not like he's this little bitty short guy. He's also a big wide receiver. So cool stuff there. The offensive line, I think there's two big storylines on the offensive line. Number one, it's Derek Plaz, the transfer from Miami. You do not hear a report about the offensive line. He's not left guard. He's there. They'll rotate the tackles. They'll sub in some guys at right guard. Now, Cole Bess, obviously, he's at center too. But left guard, Derek Plaz. And the only way, in my opinion, because he didn't play a ton last year, the only way for that to happen is all of the workouts and things that they did to prepare for spring on the front end were able to diagnose that fast. So that's really impressive. So he came to Auburn ready to work. So even in the preseason workouts, the player-led workouts, the small coaching sessions and things that they could do before spring practice actually started, when you start spring practice, Derek Plaz is your guy, and he looks good. He looks good at left guard. The other storyline is Ty Buster has lived through two staffs now, and both staffs love him. Doesn't matter about what style it is, what type of plays they're running. Ty Buster's always going to be in the mix. Now, this is what's going to be interesting, okay, because Joe Simmons is for sure going to be a tackle. He's for sure going to be one of the tackles. We've seen practices where Ty Buster is playing right tackle, and then today he was playing left tackle, so him and Simmons switch. Now, you feel like, and I think they want this to be the case, you feel like if Stanton Ramil comes back healthy, he's going to slide into one of those tackle spots. So what does that do for Ty Buster? Does he go into first tackle off the bench mode, or does he slide in there at one of the guard spots? You know, does he slide in there at right guard, which seems to be kind of up for grabs? You've had Cole Skinner out there. You've had Cale Ellis out there. If he's one of the best five, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field and not pigeonhole him to just one particular position. Ty Buster is a dog, man. Great name. It's perfect for him. He's a buster. And I'm proud of him going through all the turmoil from staff to staff and being one of the only three offensive linemen that were retained, and they can't get you off the field. Like, they'll put you wherever they feel good about it. He's not overly long, but he's just quick and nimble, and I think he'd be just fine at one of the tackle spots if need be. Running backs, didn't see a ton to really write home about. I think Cobb's fine. He kind of rolled his ankle a little bit and limped off. Didn't really need any attention in the drill that I was seeing. He just kind of sat to the side for a second. Tay Meadows looks really good, catching passes out of the backfield. Had a really pretty one-handed catch. Again, I've gone two practices now, and I did a whole show about him, and I've yet to lay eyes on Bryson Washington. I guess I get distracted on everything else. Dadgummit, next week, he's going to be the first person I go watch. I'm going to go watch Bryson Washington and confirm he exists. I know he's been confirmed to exist from other guys, but I'm going to go make sure that I make it a point to see that. So I think from an offensive perspective, that's pretty much the gist of today. The offensive line was the biggest story. Again, Cole Skinner was getting some run with the ones at right guard today. Joe Simmons was at right tackle. Ty Buster was at left tackle. Derek Plaz at left guard, and then obviously Cole Best at center. So, good stuff. Malik Autry, I see some people asking about Malik Autry. He was with the second team on the interior. Jared Smith on the outside, Malik Autry in the middle, and then St. Fair in the middle. That was the second team. Jared Smith, Joe Phillips, Malik Autry, St. Fair. He was second team. All right, I'm going to get to some of the questions, so just fire them in here, and I'll try to get them answered. I'm going to scroll back up to the top. Let's see. Do I have any updates on Alvin Henderson? Seems like he's getting lost on the depth chart. I didn't notice him today. I didn't see a lot of the running backs. I only saw the running backs for about 4 or 5 minutes. I do know this. I do know one practice, Alvin has a class conflict on like Tuesdays where he has to leave a little bit early for class, I believe. I'll confirm that, but I did see him leaving early the last Tuesday that we had practice going to class. They were concerned today about Jeremiah Cobb having the same conflict, because here's the deal, guys. Practice is going to run long in spring. Just get ready for it. They tell us, they send us out an email, and this is no knock on SID or anything, okay? They tell us a time that practice is going to be over and we're going to have player interviews, okay? Because player interviews happen right after practice is over. That has consistently been 45 minutes after the time listed. So if they can find an excuse to do another rep, they're going to find an excuse. And I wish we could see some of those, but that happened again today. I didn't notice Alvin. I remember seeing him the first day. I did not notice him. Alan Brooks says, champ at nickel, okay? Remember I said there were some injured guys, and I'm putting injured in quotation marks. There were guys working on the indoor when everybody else was outdoor, and typically that's your guys that are banged up a little bit. Champ was on the indoor. So during all these drills, Champ is still ramping back up. I think what did he call it the day one? Return to practice protocol or something like that? Which is feels like that's pretty on brand. But Champ was on the indoor. Let's see who was in the indoor. Champ was on the indoor. Chris Murray was on the indoor. Christian Neptune, which remember there were some reports he was returning punts on Saturday. He was on the indoor. So he's been playing a lot. So that doesn't mean anything there. And then Artis Boardingham was on the indoor. as well, but he was running some like 50 to 60 yard sprints as hard as he could. So like, I don't know what the deal is there, but he looks fine. Like, it's just probably a precautionary thing. Sigler, saw him a ton. Okay. Nothing wrong with Sigler. I have no idea why for that particular drill, that pursuit drill, he just wasn't in on any of the teams. But he's your first team. I think he's going to be your first team three technique, which is your Malik Blockton roll from last year. If you don't know what, when you hear people say zero, three, five, you know, edge, all that, if you're not sure what that is, it's like you, not your nose, but the other defensive tackle. He's going to be that for sure. Keep on going. What about the Hampton transfer? The big linebacker, I didn't notice him. So I know it was high school, but Wilkes was all over the field. Yeah, you threw that in there. Alan Brooks, whenever we're talking about Jacquez Wilkes. Yeah, it's only going to be a matter of time for that kid makes noise on the field. The LSU transfer, Mathis, I believe I said he went in on the third team at that same position that Malik Autry, Darian Smith, Cody Sigler, that quick tackle three technique, that's where he was going in. And he does look good. He does look really good. You got a lot of options there. You got a lot of really, really good options on the defensive line. Sam Hancock, welcome to the live, man. Glad you made it this time. Already asked the Malik, answered the Malik Autry question. Bryson Washington is so fast, you can't see him. That's pretty funny. Aubinator. I'm not going to miss him next time, though. I'm definitely going to see him. Glad to have a regular A-Day back, says Alan Brooks. We'll hopefully see a lot of these guys. There's a scrimmage next Thursday, so we don't get to go to it. And I was told it probably costs about $500,000 to attend that one. So probably not going to get to go to that one, guys, unless we start getting a pile of super chats. If we can raise $500,000 in super chats, I'll be there, I promise you. But we should learn a lot from, you know, we'll have people, you know, there'll be information. Let's just go with that. There'll be information there on that. You got a regular practice next week, probably a semi-scrimmage on Saturday, but this next Thursday is supposed to be a pretty big scrimmage. Is the big picture that the offense looks much more detail-oriented with the install this spring? Guys, it looks like a mid-season practice. I feel like I'm beating a dead horse there, but it just doesn't feel like spring. Like, it feels like we got a game Saturday. Like, there's no teaching right now. Like, and I want to make sure I'm clear with that. When I say teaching, like, that they do that. This staff seems to do that before you get to practice. Because when they come to practice, it's work. I just said earlier, if they can find an excuse to have more reps, they're there to work. I don't know what that looks like actually in season. They may not push it like that, like when it's actually in season, but in spring, man, they are working. There's no downtime. There's no downtime in the 30 to 35 minutes that we see. Sly at nickel, yeah, will be electric. Again, he played primarily there last year at nickel, and he's not missed a step. So there's you one that was a heavy contributor and starter that's kind of won his spot again. You know, it feels like everything's pretty much up for grabs. Interested in the QB2 battle. I am too, man. I'm going to tell you, I don't know who it's going to be. I think it's going to be one, obviously, of Tia and Hewlett. There's times when Tia's out there second. There's times when Hewlett's out there second. And again, if they didn't have numbers and they just stood beside each other from a distance, you'd never be able to tell them apart. Watch them throw a pass. They throw it the same. Their body looks the same. Their build's the same. Like, they are just like carbon copies of each other. And I think that's a good thing. Which quarterback looks more impressive? I mean, that was my answer. They look the same to me. I can't tell them apart. They both throw the ball really, really pretty. Any quarterback recruiting news? I mean, it feels like the momentum is really, really moving towards Will Mintzel being the guy. We'll see if they can close. I talked about this on my show either yesterday or the day before. we had a lot of this last year where we had a lot of success. We had a lot of success getting visits. We had a lot of success getting predictions to Auburn, a lot of good quotes, a lot of good feelings, a lot of good vibes, but it didn't ever transfer into, didn't really translate into actual commits. And we haven't had a commit in almost a month and a half now. So, and that was Donovan Moore. So I want to see us close one. And I don't know that he's necessarily on board. Like, I don't know that his commitment date timeline is going to be any time before, like, maybe May. So, but he did talk about, hey, if I go ahead and commit, I'm thinking about committing before my official visits, and I may just shut down the official visits. Apparently, Golish was on this kid when he was, like, unranked. And then all of a sudden, he's just exploded, and there's a loyalty piece there that he's really, really loyal to Golish, and they love their visit. Mom's first time here. Mom loved it. It was his second time visiting in like 2 months. So really, really good stuff. Do I see tight ends being red zone targets? And if so, who? It's a really good question. When you go back and look at season by season tight end production, it's not great in this system. It's very wide receiver driven. Catching the ball out of the backfield for the running backs is not something that is big time. But you wonder with all of the guys that you brought in, Jake Johnson made a beautiful one-handed catch today across the middle. And I think Byram threw it and maybe led him. It didn't have to be a one-handed catch. I'll just say that. It was just one of those kind of easy, I just reach out there. Very Phillips Lutzenkirchen-like. Remember how he used to make one-handed catches seem routine? He just kind of like pawed it. When you got guys like that and you're playing in a different league, and there's going to have to be, you know, some type of different strategies at a level. You're going to have to pick up some mismatches and things like that. Maybe tight end could become a more of a weapon. Jake Johnson, people, you're asking specifically who? Jake Johnson and the guy that came from South Florida, number one, his name's totally Eccles, Jonathan Eccles. They look the part. I'll tell you what, Hunter Herring can fly. By the way, the transfer from Louisiana Monroe, I think he was a quarterback that's playing tight end. He can absolutely jet. Again, I don't know what role he's going to be able to find, but he could be a matchup nightmare too. So maybe. Yeah, saw the video, Reese Brush throwing the dime. He's gained a bunch of good weight since he's gotten here. I would imagine he's well over 200 pounds now, just seeing him in person. Good-looking young kid, man. What about Israel Abrams? My question is, why hadn't he committed? I know maybe you're waiting to see what happened with Will Mensel first, but surely you don't. That's like, I think he's going to be really good too. Kind of is that splitting hairs on, you know, one over the other. Feels like he's probably going to be trending, you know, elsewhere, especially if we've kind of honed in on Mensel, but he says all the right things. Receiver info. What specific are you looking for? Your starting two guys are Koger and on the outside are Koger and Singleton. And this offense is interesting because your outside wide receivers pretty much line up in the same spot on the same side of the field the whole game. And then Chaz Nimrod is going to be your main like combo guy. He can play inside or outside, and he can go on both sides. Bryce Kane is getting a lot of run. He looks really good. I got to go back. He spoke to the media. I haven't had a chance to see that yet. Deshaun Spencer's in the mix there. Christian Neptune is too. He was just out today. So a lot of good options, man. That new kid too, the freshman Brian Williams, he's got to gain some weight, but God, he is long. He's long and he's smooth. Let's see. Are you seeing us running the piss out of the ball in practice? Okay, so I have not been able to see a 11-on-11 yet on offense. But from what I understand, they have been really trying to establish a run. And I think it's been a little bit of a problem early. So take that for what it's worth. So that they're, I don't know if it's what they're asking of the offensive line, if it's what type of schemes they're trying to run, but that's something to see develop, to watch develop over the spring and into the spring game. Interesting idea. Could we use Herring on trick plays like a double pass? Please, God, no. No, please. Aubinator, great idea, but no. Let's don't do that. It's probably on the table, but I hope we don't ever see it. If this team lives up to the hype of the AU beat guys, we'll be 14-0. I don't think there's one beat guy that has said one thing, including myself, that would translate to making anyone think that we're saying this is a 14-0 team. Could this be a 9-win team? I think absolutely. I don't think there's going to be many 14-0 teams. So, and it would be 16-0. So, just keep that in mind. Have they mentioned if seeding is going to be cut in the north end zone in the next season or two? I don't know the exact timeline. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be awesome when it's done, but that expansion is going to be a mess. Where does Sam Turner and Duke Smith play in all this? I would say right now they're probably right behind the two outside guys. So they're outside receivers. I don't know if one side of the field matters over the other, but that's where they'll be. We're going 10-3, beating Iowa in the Citrus Bowl. I take that, man. 10 wins would be phenomenal. A few more minutes. If you got any more questions, throw them in there, and we'll get them answered. This practice was a lot like the first one. Again, just really encouraging. Has the Baylor running back not worked out, or have others bulked up? We haven't seen enough to know there. We haven't seen enough to know the answer to that question yet. I think he's fine. I just think that for whatever reason, when they do their rotations, he just goes fourth when they do the drills that we do. But I don't really think it means anything, because I just find it hard to believe that, you know, like Tay Meadows is ahead of him, because I think he's a really good player. Is Bryce Kane going to start, or is it too early to say? I don't think he's going to. If I had to guess, I would say he doesn't go out there first right now. I think, I'm telling y'all, Chaz Nimrod is going to be a stud. The tight end from Howard, curious about the tight end from Howard. He gets in there. He's probably your third or fourth tight end. And he is huge. He is absolutely a monster. And he's got a lot of football left. How was the energy compared to last year at this time? This staff, the defense is about the same. Okay. They had good energy. The offense was more of like laid back, and maybe to a fault last year, and it's very intense. It's very intense on the offensive side of the ball. So I'd say overall the energy's good. The coaches are very, very involved. A lot of hollering, a lot of, you know, big boisterous voices out there. So I like it. Let's see. Let's keep going through these. Will A-Day be televised? I don't know. Is there information out on that yet? Auburn football. Let's see. Auburn football on Auburn A-Day television. Let's see. The 2026 Auburn A-Day spring game is scheduled to be April 18th at 2 p.m. Broadcast details are not yet finalized, but typically appear on SEC Network Plus or ESPN Plus. So nothing's finalized, at least for now. So who's the biggest offensive guard from just size? I got to think about that one. I'll be honest. The biggest guard may be there's a freshman that came in. I think his name's Parker Pritchett from Columbus. Let me look him up. Parker Pritchett Auburn football roster. I want to see what his height and weight is, because he's a huge kid. 6'5", 310. He's big. Skinner is really wide. Skinner has a lot of, you know, the words girth there. Skinner's a big guy. But Parker Pritchett just looks like a monster. He is big. So, I mean, that's a true freshman that's not going to play. Derek Plaz is wide. Him and Skinner both have really, like, big, stocky, you know, thick body types. I'm looking at the roster right now so I can kind of go through it really quick. Jacoby Ward looks really good. Jacoby Ward's big. He's probably 340, 6'4", 340. So that's a big boy. Probably overall, as far as big guards go, Jacoby's probably your biggest. Let's see here. Maybe you've covered it, but has Alex put on any weight? Yes. He's bigger, and he says he's full strength. He says he's stronger than he was when he was healthy. So haven't seen him kick yet, but he looks good. He looks healthy. The young guys are all going to be better. Fagan's winners would be in the secondary. I agree. Again, I think Woodby or Pleasant, who are running with the twos, either one of those guys could probably play with first team at some point in time and not have much of a drop-off. Another one I haven't seen, since we're talking about DBs, I meant to talk about this. Shamar Arnaud, I haven't really seen much on him. I'm pretty positive he was not part of that rotation, and I haven't even really heard his name talked about. It's early, doesn't have to mean anything, okay? But remember, he was one of the big portal additions that was supposed to be him and Andre Jordan were supposed to be your, like, one and two. But Gavin Jenkins seems to have leapfrogged everybody. So I think that's just about it. Again, every time we have a practice like this, I'm going to go live afterwards, try to give you guys a good enough heads up. And we'll do some questions at the end, you know, and talk through this. I see when is A-Day? It's April 18th. Like I just mentioned, it's in the afternoon. It's $0 admission. Just show up and you can get in. 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, Saturday, April 18th. It's not on the Masters weekend for the first time in quite some time, so that's good stuff. Guys, I really appreciate it. Thank y'all for jumping in. We'll do this again. And then obviously the show will be live again tomorrow morning. And a lot of content pieces left throughout the week. So y'all have a good one, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.